Good evening to everybody. This evening's Shiur Hilchos Brachos is going to be dedicated to the topic of desserts and making brachos on particular desserts that we eat. The source and sources for tonight's discussion is based upon a Gemara in Brachos on Daf Mem Aleph on the Beis, a statement of our Papa. It is Paskin in Shulchan Aruch and Arachaim, Simul Kuf Ayin Zayin, a short tzif, relatively short tzif of 5 se'ifim. The subject of the discussion revolves around when one washes and makes the bracha on Til Sidayim and subsequently makes the bracha on Motzi, so it's a bread meal, what we call halacha su'uda, su'uda pas of bread. So we're all aware that anything that is subsequently eaten as part of the bread meal does not require a bracha. That is the statement that Rabba makes, and that's the statement that we find in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Ayin Zayin Sif Alta reads as follows: Dvar ma'boyim betoch ha'suda. Any items that come to be eaten during the course of a suda, suda means a bread meal. Imhem dvar ma'boyim machmas ha'suda. If any of these foods that are subsequently being eaten post washing and making the bracha hamotzi and eating bread, dahinu dvar shederach lekboa suda aleim. Items that you eat because that's what you eat with a bread meal. Kagon, what are examples? Basar, meat, dagim, fish, beitzim, and eggs, yirakos, vegetables, gvina, cheese, daisa, umine meluchim, and any of the grains. Call it oats, call it kugel, noodles. So if we're talking about kugel, meat, chicken, salad, soup, and noodles, those are all mainstays of a bread meal, whether it's a sandwich or whether it's even not a sandwich, whether it's a first course, a second course, even the third course. If any of those foods that were just mentioned, which are mainstays of a regular classic bread meal, once those things are now being eaten, but they're coming as a result of the bread or part of the bread meal, even if they're not being eaten with bread. I don't eat a chicken sandwich necessarily. I don't eat a meat sandwich, and I certainly don't eat a noodle or a kugel sandwich. I feel ochlam below pas ain't un bracha lefnam. I do not require a bracha prior to eating each of those independent foods. The bracha hamotzi potrasan, because the bracha of hamotzi, which was made in the beginning, exempts everything that is being eaten during the course of the bread meal. Lo lachrem, and there's no specific bracha v'alamichya or bar nefashos that's required to be made after eating those independent items. The bircha tamazon potrasam, that the benching that takes place after the bread and all of the items that are included in the bread meal, those are all considered to be things that are dvarim haboim betoch ha'su'uda machmas ha'su'uda. Things that are coming during the meal as a result of the bread meal do not require a bracha. So if it's a first course, a second course, and a third course, and the things that we're talking about are items or foods, are meal items that are part of a bread meal, that are normal to eat with a bread meal, that are the mainstay of a bread meal, those independent foods that are eaten after one washes and makes hamotzi are included in the bracha of hamotzi and certainly are included in the benching that takes place after. Now, not only is this true about food, the like kugel, meat, chicken, salads, and soup and the like, but it's also true regarding beverages that are consumed during the course of the meal, as long as the beverage is being consumed to assist in the eating process or to satisfy one's thirst as a result of the meal that's being eaten. Again, a bracha does not have to be eaten. So water, juices, sodas, and the like, beer as well, all of those items and all those beverages are being drunk as a result of the eating process. They're part of the meal. They're there to satisfy the thirst, and therefore a special shahakol does not have to be made. An exception to this is wine. Wine requires a bracha of a bar per gafen as a result of its unique importance, wine coming from a grape, and the halachic status that grapes and specifically wine has requires a separate bracha to be made. So therefore, during the course of the first, second, or third course, if you're going to drink a cup of wine, the wine requires a bracha bar per gafen. Whether or not you have a better wine or a higher grade wine during the course of the meal and need a bracha v'tov v'metiv is a separate question that will not be addressed now. But wine as an independent beverage that is being drunk during the course of the meal is not equivalent to other drinks and therefore requires an independent bracha of bar per gafen as opposed to the shahakol. There are three other beverages which are interesting in the respect that they are discussed by poskim. The first is whiskey. Whiskey is not a beverage that's consumed to assist in the eating process. It's not consumed in order to satisfy thirst necessarily. So therefore, an argument can be made that whiskey would require a shahakol during the course of the meal. However, it's very clear amongst halachic authorities that the minhag is not to make a special bracha of shahakol on whiskey, since we consider it to be like an appetizer. And as we'll see in a few moments, an appetizer is considered to be a davar that's megarer achila, that is, it leaves and it allows one to whet one's appetite in order to eat more. And therefore, since whiskey is like a appetizer in the respect that it whets one's appetite to eat more, therefore it's part of the meal and it does not require a separate shahakol. The same thing is true when it comes to tea, which is discussed by Poskim. Typically, tea, if it's not in a Chinese or Japanese restaurant, is brought at the end of the meal, but the Poskim understand that it's normal to drink meal during the course of one's bread meal. It's drunk in order to assist the eating process or to satisfy thirst as well, and therefore no independent shahako is required as well. The most fascinating discussion revolves around coffee. The Mishnah Berurah has a discussion about this and cites opinions as to whether or not a special shahakol has to be made if you're drinking coffee during the meal. The Mishnah Berurah raises the possibility that it's possible that a coffee is not drunk to assist in the eating process or to satisfy thirst, but rather it's there in order to help digest the food. So if the coffee is being drunk in order to help digest the food, then really one should make a shahakol. Mishnah Berurah says that the best thing to do is if you're having something else at the end of the meal with a coffee that requires a shahakol, you should make the shahakol at the end of the meal, and we'll get to that when it comes to dessert specifically, and have in mind that it's going on your coffee as well. However, the bottom line is that most Poskim do understand that coffee is similar to tea and it's similar to whiskey in the respect that it does not require independent shahakol at all. As we will discuss now, when it comes to dessert, if it's possible or feasible to have in mind the motzi, the shahakol, on the coffee with something else, that's the best. So the first set of laws and rules that we have discussed is when it comes to any food that's eaten to satiate. That's the kugels and the meats and the chickens, the soups and the noodles, all of those are part and parcel of the meat meal. Either they're tafel to the bread and don't require bracha, that's what seems to be in the Mishnah Berurah, that they consider to be tafel, and no different to the discussion of ikar v'tafel, you only make the bracha on the primary food and not on the secondary food, so one can argue that all of the courses are secondary to the bread. Or no, one can argue that all of these are really part of the meal itself. They are the bread. They are the satiating food that's being eaten, and they're equivalent to bread. So therefore, on none of those main courses that are being eaten is a bracha required, independent of the bracha that's being made of a motzi. And the same thing is true when it comes to beverages. However, when it gets to the final course, the dessert, that's where there's a discussion in the poskim. When one typically eats their dessert, so the goal is that you're full. Certainly with our children, right, we like our children to eat properly, and once they've eaten their proteins and their carbohydrates and they've done what they're supposed to do and fulfill their health requirements and they have been satiated, then dessert is the final course, which is not there in order to satiate oneself. It's not there to help one be full, but rather it's only there for some level of enjoyment. The rule is not only when it comes to children, but when it comes to adults too. We hope that dessert is less and everybody's satiated. And the food that's being brought as a dessert is really excess, and it's there for enjoyment. So take, for example, your ice cream, ices, your sherbet, your kompot, your candy, or your chocolate. Those are all brachas of shahakol. Now, if you're eating your ice cream, ices, your sherbet, your candy, or your chocolate only for the sake of enjoyment, so that an argument cannot be made that it's coming for the sake of the meal. It's separate. It's an enjoyment that's coming after the meal. It's true you haven't benched yet, but you can't say that these are dvarim habayim b'toch ha'suda machmas ha'suda. They're not there for the meal itself. They're there as a supplement or as an enjoyment at the end of the meal. So all of those items that I just mentioned, the ice cream, the ices, the sherbet, the candy and the chocolate and the kompot as well, whether it's a shahakol on most of them outside of a kompot, unless it still has some element of the fruit that is still recognizable, on all of those things, a shahakol should be made. So at the end of a Shabbos meal or a Yom Tov meal, or a big Sunday brunch, so you've washed and you've eaten your bread, and you had a first course, a second course, and maybe even a third course. And then comes the ice cream, the ices, the kompot, the candy, or the chocolate, and the sherbet as well. A shahakol should be made because these are not things that are coming as a result of the meal. They're coming as an excess to the meal, as a supplement to the meal, as an enjoyment of the meal. They're not part of the meal like the meat and the chicken and the cheese and the salad and the noodles and the soup. So therefore, a separate shahakol should be made on the items that were just mentioned. Well, dessert is not always a shahakol, and it's not always ice cream and ices. We're thinking summertime, and we typically that is the type of dessert that one might be eating and consuming, and candies and chocolate certainly are year-round, but cakes and cookies and pies and the like are certainly a mainstay of a dessert and are classic when it comes to dessert. Now, we follow the same rule as it comes to the shahakol, ice cream and ices. If one is only eating dessert because he or she is completely full already, and the dessert is only there to help one enjoy the meal, and it's a special meal, it's a holiday meal, it's a Shabbos meal, it's a birthday party, whatever it is, well, if you're eating your pie, or you're eating your cake, or your cookies, or any of your special cakes after the meal, well, if you're only eating it as a dessert, and it's considered to be separate, so the truth is, one can argue that a special bracha should be made on any of those foods. So therefore, an argument could be made that on cake and cookies and pies, and on your tarts, a special bracha bari mizar should be made. However, common custom is not like that. Including pies, the prevalent custom is that these desserts are all considered part of the mainstay of the meal. Contemporary poskim, including Rechaim Pinchas Scheinberg, Rishlomo Zalman Auerbach, and others quoted in the Sefer of Zos HaBracha, a shorthand Sefer on Brachos, Rabbi Mandelman, Rabbi Eretz Yisrael, which is a very popular book and work on the topic of Brachos, understand that in America it seems to be that even though you might not have dessert on a regular weekday lunch or a weekday dinner, nonetheless, the desserts of mizonos, the pies and the cakes and the tarts and the pies, it's really part of the meal. And you're sort of waiting for it. Yes, it's an enjoyable part of the meal and it's a supplement to the meal, but at the end of the day, it is part and parcel of the meal itself, and therefore a special mizonos should not be made. Another reason to argue that a mizonos should not be made is based upon a concept which we've discussed in this series called pas haba b'kisnin. We have mentioned that there are three definitions of pas haba b'kisnin, which means a pie. It could mean a batter or a mix that is not simply water and flour, but has a taste to it, a more of a juice taste to it, or it's a hardened cake, pretzels and Melba toast and the like. Now, the rule is when it comes to those three that if you only are eating a little bit of it and not a kidei su'uda, not dalet beitzah, and not a significant amount of it, it's only going to be a morim mina mizonos. Now here when it comes to desserts, one could make an argument that any of the pies, the cakes, or the cookies, or the tarts that you're eating would be defined as pas haba b'kisnin, either because of the texture, because of the taste, because of the batter itself. Therefore, one can make an argument that really it's the brach of hamotzi. Now, it's true, it's only mizonos according to one opinion, but the other opinions might agree that it's hamotzi. So therefore, many poskim understand that these items, the cookies and the cakes, can be defined as bread according to some poskim, and of course you're not going to make a special bread if you're ready washed, and therefore the common custom contemporarily is you will make a bracha of shahakol on your ice cream, your ices, your candy and your chocolates for dessert, but on the cakes, the cookies, the tarts and the pies, the bracha of borei mizunos will not be made. But not only do we have desserts of shahakol, and not only do we have desserts of mizonos, but we also have desserts of ha'etz and adama, and that, of course, is fruit salad. Fruits that are not cut up or fruits that are cut up, whether they're cut up into a salad or whether they're eaten separately, fruits are typical and are common part of a dessert. Now, let's talk first about fruit, not as a dessert, but fruit as a main course. Let's say, for example, your meal consists of a bagel with butter, bagel with cream cheese, and some fruit, and that's your meal. Well, one can argue that the fruit there is coming as a result of the meal itself. It's what we would call dvar mabayim besoch asuda, machmas asuda. It's as if it's your chicken. It's as if it's your meat. It's like your kugel or your noodles or your soup. That's your meal. Your meal is not a sandwich, and then your second course is considered to be fruit. But you're eating it with the bread. It's part of the bread meal. So fruit is your main course, or you consider your fruit your main course, then it's coming machmas asuda. In that situation, your fruit will not require a bracha. More common, however, is when fruit is served as a first course, as an appetizer, whether it's at a big meal or whether it's at a Shabbos Yantav meal. It's not uncommon to have a grapefruit or a melon for a first course. Now, in that situation, the fruit is considered to be an appetizer. It's served as an appetizer. It's served in order to whet your appetite. And the halacha is, in any appetizer that's served to whet your appetite, it's considered to be coming as the result of the meal. It's not separate, it's not supplemental, it's not there only for the sake of enjoyment like a dessert, but it's there for the sake to be megara your achila, to whet your appetite, to get you to eat the rest of the courses, the rest of the meal, with fervor and excitement. So therefore, a fruit that's brought as a first course, as an appetizer, it's a grapefruit, it's a melon, sometimes it's a cocktail, any of those types of things will not require ha'eitz, because it is considered to be part of the meal. But let's talk about fruits for dessert. Now, when food is being served as dessert, the argument that the Shulchan Aruch seems to make, and that's pretty clear in Simkuf Ayin Zayin Sif Aleph, is that fruit is similar to your ice cream, your sherbet, your ices, and your chocolate, and your candy. It's separate. It's independent. It's there for enjoyment. It's not part of your meal. You've already washed. You've had a first course, a second course, and a third course, even if you haven't had a third course. But you've eaten your meal. The fruit that's being eaten now is only coming as an add-on, as an additional item. As the Shulchan Aruch says, Im him dvarim habayim shelo machmas ha-su'uda, if you're eating things that are not coming as a result of meal. Dehainu shein derech likvoa su'uda aleim lafis benesapas. It's not common that you eat fruits with your bread meal. That's not what you do. Sometimes you do. But if it's being brought as dessert, you can't argue that it's there to be eaten with the bread. Examples that the Shulchan Aruch mentions, te'enim, dates, anavim, grapes, the chol mine peros, all types of fruits. Mishnah Berurah and Tzivkat and Hay includes watermelon, different types of vegetables that seemingly were more common for them to eat as a result of dessert, but that we don't. Im ochel osam below pas tunim bracha lefneim. Those things, those fruits that are being eaten for dessert require a bracha before eating them. The bircha samotzi enu patrasan. The lav meikar sudehem. The bracha of hamotzi will not fulfill or cover the obligation of the bracha on the fruits that are coming to dessert because of the fact that they are separate, they're independent. Therefore, if you're having your fruit salad for dessert, you're having a watermelon, a slice, a wedge of watermelon, you're having any melon, or you're having a cocktail, if those desserts, and if that dessert is coming for the sake of a dessert in and of itself, one will be required to make the bracha of Borei Priya Eitz. So what we have seen is three different areas. We've seen desserts as mizonos, we've seen desserts as shahakol, and we've seen desserts as borei priya eitz. The dessert that's a shahakol, the chocolate and the candy, dessert that's a borei priya eitz, the fruits, those are separate and are considered to be a separate bracha, require a separate bracha, are not considered to be part of the meal, require either borei priya eitz or a shahakol. However, when it comes to the cakes, the cookies, the tarts, and the cakes that we're eating for dessert, those typically commonly are considered to be part of the meal. They're coming as a result of the meal. They're still there to fill you up a little bit, as opposed to the fruit cocktail, the fruits and the chocolates and the candies, and therefore you will not make a bracha of borei mizonos on the cakes and the cookies and the tarts and the pies, as opposed to the fruits and the shahakols, ice cream and ices, which you will. Foods which are eaten in order to help you satiate, in order to fill you up. We're talking about the kugels, the meats, the chickens, the salads, the noodles, and the soups, the beverages as well, besides for wine, but everything including tea, coffee, and whiskey will also not require a bracha independently of the bracha of hamotz, because those items are being eaten in order to satiate, and therefore they're considered to be coming as a result of the bread meal. There is a very popular speaker, preacher, teacher, mashpia, magid today in Eretz Yisrael. His name is Rabbi Elimelech Biderman. He's become very popular. He gives very, very powerful drashos. His talks are being written up and being emailed and sent electronically throughout the world. Very, very knowledgeable. His extraordinarily deep understanding of many, many topics and his breadth of knowledge is awesome. His name is Rabbi Melech Biderman. I think he's a Yerushalmi Jew. He lives in Bnei Brak, and he has some very, very beautiful thoughts and ideas, and one I wanted to share with you this evening. It relates to tea and coffee. He notes that the bracha that we make on tea and on coffee or a hot drink is certainly a shahakol. But he mentions that if you look at the coffee or the tea, so the water that is being used to make the tea was originally a clear water. But the clarity of the water went from clear to being colored. Either it's brown, light brown, dark brown in your coffee, or it's a tinge of green or purple, whatever your taste of your favorite tea is. So you go from a clear water to a colored water. You have a cold or lukewarm or room temperature water that went from that to being hot. You take water, which is a relatively neutral taste, to making it sweet if you add sugar. It's sour if you add a lemon. It's salty if you put salt into the water. And he notes that the bracha is a shahakel, because any time you are making a bracha of shahakel, what are you saying? Shahakol niyavidvar. Everything, God, is as a result of what you say. Everything as a result of your will, of your word. Whether you're talking about something that goes from clear to colored or colored to clear. Whether you're talking about something, God, that goes from cold to hot or hot to cold. Whether you take something that has no taste and you make it sweet. Something they make sweet that they go sour. Something that has no taste and you make it salty. Something that wasn't salty and then you make it bland. On all of the changes that take place in the tea, when you're drinking it, it wasn't like that originally. It was just a room temperature water that went from clear to colored, that went from white or crystal clear to brown or to green. It was cold and now it's hot. It had no taste, now it's sweet. Maybe it's sour with a lemon, or it's salty if you put some salt in it. Everything, God, in this world is shahakol niyadvar. Everything from you, Hashem, is wonderful. Shahakol niyadvar, whether it's hot or cold, whether it's sweet or sour, whether it's salty or sweet, whether it's tasty or it's not tasty. Hashem, we recognize that all aspects of this world are shahakol niyadvar. Hakol me Hashem, everything is from you, God. Brachos, in general, help sensitize us to our relationship with the God, whether it's minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, or month by month. We recognize that we are living with God. That's what a bracha is. It's a Dina Emes, or it's a Hatovu Meitiv. Of course, we hope it's Hatovu Meitiv, and of course, we hope it's a Shafiyanu. But recognizing that Hashem is with us in all aspects of life, in the positive and the negative, in the hot and the cold, in the clear or in the murky and the gray. Shehakol niyeh bedvar, whether we understand or whether we don't understand. In all aspects of our life, Hashem speaks to us, Hashem talks to us. And sometimes at the end of the meal, when we're drinking our coffee, sipping our tea, we recognize that something is different, something has changed, something is unique about what we are drinking. It wasn't the way it looked only moments ago. And yes, it's delicious when it's sweet, it's delicious when it's sour, it's delicious when it's tasty, and of course we want it to be to our tasting. But we don't always recognize something to our tasting, even when it's dark, even when it is murky, even when it is gray. And things aren't clear, and things aren't the temperature that we like it. Nonetheless, it's shahakol niyeh bedvaro. We hope we pray to Hashem that these weeks that we are living in now, as we approach Rosh Chodesh Shavuot, as we approach the difficult days of calamity that the Jewish people commemorate, the time that we think about the destruction of the Beit Hamikdash first and the second, we pray to Hashem that He turns the season from Eva Yom Tov, from mourning to holiday, from sadness to happiness, from dark to light. And within that, we also have to realize the chesed of Hashem in the destruction. We have to realize that at the darkest point, that's when things become bright. It's Vayi Erev, then it's Vayi Boker, it's Yom Echad. The same Hashem that talks to us in the day is the same God that talks to us at night. Tov lahodos l'Hashem, u'lezamer l'shimcha alyon. It's good, it's great to praise God and to sing to His glory. D'hagid baboker chastecha ve'emunascha balelos. It's easy to see the chesed of Hashem baboker. We see God and we recognize God's kindness and God's glory and God talking to us in the daytime. But emunascha balelos. When it's dark, we also have to search. We also have to pine. We also have to yearn. We also have to open up our eyes to see Hashem even in those points. And we say, Shehakol niyeh bedvar, everything is from you, Hashem. We need to learn to appreciate and to recognize that Hashem is with us in so many different aspects and so many different walks of life. But we hope and we pray that the only walks of life that are good, that are positive, both independently, both individually, collectively, for us, for our families, and amir Hashem for all of Klal Yisrael. Shimbane Beis HaMikdash, Tumher V'Yameinu, that Hashem should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, L'shana Bab, Yerushalayim HaMikdash. Have a wonderful evening.